chapter 16. To my knowledge, we won't be turning anywhere else in the Bible this morning, but to this one chapter, Acts chapter 16. I might try to quote some verses for you, or try to. But we take our text, we take our story, we take our message here from Acts chapter 16. And we appreciate everybody being here this morning. We pray that God will bless this day for us. It's the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. It's the day that Christ rose from the grave. I believe we resurrected from the grave on Sunday. And it's the day we come together to get things resurrected in our hearts and life. And my friend, if you've been in the workforce, if you've been in the world the past week, you've gotten worn out, you've licked down, you've gotten fed up with the world, and we come to church on Sunday to get strength, and to get help, to see God move. So y'all pray that God will move in the service this morning. Acts chapter 16, let's begin reading if we can in verse 16. Acts 16, verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. These same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to her, to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands was loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thine house. And they spake unto him the word of God, the word of the Lord, and to all that was in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed his stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. I want you, my friend, this is a great story here. I think about the great testimony Paul and Silas had, that they was men that troubled the city. There was men that troubled the city by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They preached about how Christ was alive and how he suffered for our sins and was buried. And he rose again the third day and was sitting up into heaven to make intercession for us. The Bible says that Paul and Silas showed the city the way of salvation. My friends, just more than some plan you work out, it's just more than just 2 + 2 = 4. It's the way we live every day is salvation. We live in Christ every day. I like the part here where the Bible says that this woman, she was, the devil was cast out of her, and the world, my friend, they just going to the world for help, going to the world for help. But when Paul got through with her, her devil was cast out, and her master realized, my friend, he wasn't going to gain nothing else from her. Hey, thank God. That's a picture of us. We got saved by God's amazing grace. The devil looked at our lives and said, hey, I'm not going to gain anything else from them. They're not going to do anything else for me. They're going to live for the Most High God. I want to talk about this jailer here for a little bit. But we preached this message, and we talked about Paul and Silas and them doing all kinds of things in a jailhouse, and what a wonderful ministry they had there. Every time Paul went to a city, we know he looked for the jailhouse because that's where he was going to end up. He was going to go there and preach the gospel and get in trouble for it and be cast into prison and stay there for a period of time. And he knew that he was going to have to suffer those things in his life just to preach the gospel. But yet he still preached the gospel. And he said, hey, I'd rather suffer infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, I'd rather spend my time in jail and preach the gospel than not preach the gospel and have a free life to live. Here, this jailer. Before we look at what took place in his life, I want you to notice his life. The Bible's mentioned here, verse 25, it was at midnight. But look here, if you would, it says here in verse 23, the Bible says that when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Here, this jailer, this keeper of the prison, he was responsible for keeping his eye on Paul and Silas and all the other prisoners. I want you to notice the time of his life was at midnight. He was in jail the same time Paul and Silas was in jail, and there's a midnight cry, there's a midnight time in his life. Well, if you haven't seen it yet, this jailer is a picture of a one that needs salvation. And here, he's spending his time in jail. You know what a jailer is? One that takes care of prisoners. You know what he is? He's a prisoner himself. Them guards, them ones that's in prison, that has to stay there for a certain period of time, a certain hours of the day, certain days of the week, certain weeks of the month, certain months of the year. My friend, they become a prisoner to their own jail that they're watching. And here this man was in jail watching Paul and Silas and all the other prisoners. And it's at midnight in his life. Well, midnight is supposed to be the darkest time there is. I've had some midnight hours. Well, I've had some time. I didn't see any light at the end of the tunnel. I had some times where I didn't know if God was going to pull me through it, if I was going to be able to get through it. And here this jailer was in the midnight hours. He is in prison bound to his job and bound to his career and bound to his life. And he was supposed to be watching all these other prisoners. Paul and Silas was cast into the inner prison. The most horrible place you can imagine. Probably the sewage was up high and stuff was floating all in the water, and the rats was running rapid, and roaches was all on the walls, and there they was fastened with their wrists and their ankles fastened together, sitting there. But the prisoner also was sitting there. The keeper of the prison was sitting there. All the other prisoners were sitting there. You realize the time in his life. Notice what it says here, if you would, in verse 27. The Bible says in verse 27, the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out of his sword and would have killed himself. Boy, that's how much he thought about his job, about his family, about his own life. He is at the point where it's a midnight hour and he was bound in prison himself, and he would have drew his sword out and taken his own life. He's coming to his wit's end. Where he don't see any hope, he don't see any help for the future. He would have drew his own sword out and thrust it through his stomach or thrust it through his heart just to take his own life. Notice what else the Bible says about this keeper of the prison in verse 34. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced. The Bible says here in this verse, he was rejoicing. A few verses before that, he was wanting to kill himself. What took place? What took place in this man's life to take him from a time where it's at midnight, he is in prison, and was going to kill his own self? What took place in this man's life from then until a few verses later when the Bible says that he was rejoicing? Boy, I'm glad that we can rejoice this morning. I'm glad I'm a Christian this morning. Hey, no matter what takes place this morning, hey, sink, swim, or drown, get fat, or die skinny, whatever takes place this morning, I can rejoice because of who God is. But there was a time I couldn't rejoice. 8 years ago, lost his sin. I couldn't rejoice about the goodness of God. I couldn't rejoice that it was Sunday. I think about John on the isle called Patmos when Christ came to him on the Lord's day. And John looked up and saw Jesus. The Bible says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Hey, thank God we've got a church house to come to. Hey, thank God we've got a God that's real that we can call on. And he speaks to us. The Bible says his hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. We've got a God that's alive this morning that arose out of the grave that's sitting on the right hand this morning, making intercession for us. Hey, thank God we can rejoice. Whatever you're going to face tomorrow, whatever you're going to face this week, you got some people going to the doctor, some people taking dialysis, some people taking cancer treatments, some people waiting on a doctor's report. You can rejoice tomorrow because of who God is. The Bible says this jailer, this keeper of the jail, the prison, boy, it was midnight in his life. He was bound to the same thing that he was working for. Many people working for the world and is bound to the world. Not only that, but the Bible said he would have killed himself. I've met a lot of people that's been depressed and discouraged and that's down and out. And all that I can tell them is tell them about Jesus. All that we can do is tell them about Jesus. And something happened in this poor boy's life to cause him to rejoice. I want to give you four things real quick that took place in his life. He got conviction. That's the first thing that took place in his life. And beloved, that's where it all starts. Hey, you can come to church until you're blue in the face. You can come, you can get baptized till every tadpole in Little Petey River knows your social security number. Hey, you can come to church, my friend, and have you an indention in that seat as much as you want, but it's not until conviction set in that God starts working that makes a man's life change, my friend. Hey, you can come to church all you want to. You can carry your Bible around with you. You come to every Sunday school class there is. You can be part of every revival meeting, but it's not until God brings conviction to a man's heart, to a woman's heart, that's when the Holy Spirit of God starts working. I want you to notice he got conviction. Look here, if you would, in verse 25, notice what the Bible says. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Hey, not only did the prisoners heard them, but the keeper of the prisoners heard them. Can you imagine a man sitting by? He's done to watch Paul get whipped. He's done to watch Silas get whipped. They got him in shackles. They got him in cuffs. They chained him to the wall. They probably in waste deep sewer. And my friend, there's all kind of rats and roaches and varmints, all in that stuff. And can you imagine Paul and Silas? They just started singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Can you imagine here Paul and Silas? Paul would have stopped and said, Silas, let's pray and thank God that we've got a roof over our heads tonight. We don't have to sleep out there in the rain. Can you imagine that? I read a story about Charles Spurgeon and one of his comrades was walking down the road and they was joking and laughing and having a good time. And Charles Spurgeon, he just stopped in a dead walk and said, hey, let's pray for laughter. He said, let's pray that God gives us laughter and that we can laugh. You ever pray to thank God that we can laugh? Here, Paul and Silas, they didn't have too much going for them, these boys tonight. Midnight in jail. Paul hasn't ate anything. They done have been whipped. They've been shoved in jail. But yet they prayed and sang praises unto God. And that keeper of the prison, he started hearing the wonderful words of salvation. He started hearing the wonderful prayers that Paul made. My friend, he heard something that started convicting his heart. The Bible says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The first thing that needs to take place in a person's life for conviction is to hear the precious word of God. I didn't get convicted when I went to those juke joints and heard that hellacious music. And I didn't get convicted, my friend, when I walk outside and see the wind blowing through the trees. I don't get convicted when I go outside and hear the birds chirping. But I did get convicted when the preacher took the Bible and preached the word of God and showed me I was a hell-deserving, hell-bound, hell-lost sinner on my way to a devil's hell. And there was nothing I could do about it but just believe in Jesus Christ. When you heard Paul and Silas, convictions set in. But notice something else. I like this part here. In verse 28, notice what the Bible says. Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. That's what every preacher preaches every Sunday. Do thyself no harm. Do thyself no harm. Believe in Jesus and be saved and be forgiven of your sins and go to heaven. Hey, don't die and go to hell, but believe in Jesus. There's many multitudes of millions of preachers standing up today preaching to a congregation like we have this morning. And most of them saying the same thing. Do thyself no harm. Get saved and live for Jesus. He heard something with his ears. But not only that, but I want you to notice something else. My friend, he felt something. And we're talking about this in verse 26. The Bible says this in verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons was shaken, and immediately all the doors was open, and everyone's bands was loose. Here, can you imagine this prison, this keeper of the prison? He heard Paul and Silas pray. Boy, he heard him pray. He heard him singing. And then he decided to take him a little siesta. So he went there and he crossed his fingers and laid his head back and started going to sleep. And then he started feeling the foundation of the prison shaking back and forth. He woke up out of his sleep and saw all the doors was open. I believe, my friend, conviction starts when we hear the word of God. And conviction also takes place when we feel something on the inside that we're not right with God. My friend, salvation is more than a feeling. But conviction has a feeling that you're not right with God. That Tuesday night when I got saved, you know how I felt? I felt like a dog. I felt so low I could crawl up under the carpet because I knew that night my sins was against God. I felt terrible. I was sick of who I was. Conviction makes you feel bad about your own self. That night when Preacher Larry come and share the word of God with me, hey, I didn't jump around and start a dance and say, hey, I'm glad I'm a sinner. I'm glad I took God's name in vain. I'm glad I went to all those places. I'm glad I drank my beer. I'm glad I smoked my reefer. I'm glad I cursed. I'm glad I stole. I'm glad I did all these sinful acts. Hey, that night I felt like I deserved to die and go to hell because of who I was. That night the man felt an earthquake. He knew only God could do that. You want to tell you who's going to bring conviction? It's not me. It's not Brother David. It's not the girl singing a song. It's the Holy Spirit of God breathing upon you, lets you know you're not right with God. That's what brings conviction. Not how well a man speaks, not how well a singer sings. The Holy Spirit of God. The Bible says, Isaiah 55, verse 11, my words shall not come back void. They accomplish that which I please and prosper in the place I sent it. That's the conviction God brings. Not only did this keeper of the prison, he heard something, he felt something, but he also saw something. Here in verse 27, notice what the Bible says. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. When he woke up out of sleep because of the great earthquake, and my friend, that's the only thing that's going to bring you out of a sinful condition, is God breathing upon you and bring you conviction upon your life. He looked through his eyes and saw all the doors was open. He realized only God can do something as great and something as big and something as marvelous as God can do, my friend. Only God can open up doors in your heart and life. In the prison, the keeper of the prison looked and saw all the doors was open. Can you imagine what took place in his heart? He done heard Paul and Silas sing and pray. Boy, he done felt that great earthquake come. And now he's looking out of his eyes and saw all the doors was open. But also notice this, if you will, in verse 29. In verse 29, what he saw. Then he came, and then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. He called for that light. He wanted to see Paul and Silas. Can you imagine, my friend, this jailer, this keeper of the jail was ordered by the king to keep an eye on Paul and Silas. And the earthquake come and started shaking the prison. And all the doors was open. Can you imagine his eyes being opened? He said, hey, these men are gone. These men are fled. He said, I don't want to suffer their same punishment. So he drew out a sword and had to thrust it through his heart. But Paul cried and said, hey, do thyself no harm. I believe conviction set in when he saw Paul was different from everybody else. Paul was different from everybody else. I knew tonight I got saved that y'all folks was different from other people. I knew Christian folks was different. In fact, I remember when Daddy was on the hospital bed about to die, we had some people come in from the church, and they looked at us, me and my wife, with shacked up, living together. They looked at me, and they looked at my wife, and looked at some of our children. They said, are these your children? I said, yes, sir. These are my girls. I believe Justin was born. Yeah, Justin was born then, and Brandon was just a little baby. And they said, well, how long have you and your wife been married? Well, I didn't want to tell them that we weren't married. I said, well, we've been together for almost 7 years now. I just said it real plain. We've been together for almost 7 years. Boy, anybody else, I would have told them, hey, we ain't married. We living off the government. We ain't married. Hey, we don't get married. She gets food stamps. She gets welfare. Hey, she gets a check. Hey, we just live off the government. We ain't married. Well, that day when I stood before a Christian, I knew, hey, their life was different. Boy, I didn't want to tell them I wasn't married. I didn't want to tell them I was shacking up, living in sin. I said, we've been together for quite a few years now. You know, enough of years to try to make up for the children being born. You know, just try to put it in there. When that keeper of the prison stood and he heard Paul's voice and Paul come in and he took that light and held it up and saw Paul's face, the Bible says he began to tremble. Conviction because of what he heard and what he felt and what he saw. But he knew Paul, as any other prisoner, would have fled and took off, never seen him again. But Paul, being a man's man, stood there and said, do thyself no harm. What does that tell us this morning? Somebody's always watching you. And they're waiting for someone to be different. They're waiting for us to be different from the world. They're looking at us and they're wanting us to be different. They're wanting us to make it. They're wanting to cheer us on. They want us to say, hey, go, run, go, be faithful. But they're also watching that one time when you mess up. So they can point their finger at you and say, I knew you wasn't right. Well, I knew you were just a little Bible thumper. I knew you was just a holy roller. You're not right with God just like me. And we always heard this. If you get to heaven, so will I. I'm getting to heaven, beloved, because of Jesus. Not because of what I can do. But this keeper of the prison, he heard and it brought conviction. He failed and it brought conviction. Hey, he saw and it started bringing conviction. The Bible says he is at the point of killing himself. And a few verses later, he's rejoicing. Why? Because the first thing that took place was conviction, my friend. Hey, conviction set in. It'll start changing your life. Either it'll make you grow closer to the Lord or make you run from the Lord. If God's convicting your heart today, I'm going to tell you to come to Calvary, to come to the cross, to come to Jesus. And give him your sins, and he will save you. He will give you a brand new life. He will, my friend, do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or even think if you'll just come to Jesus. This man with the light came in, started trembling with conviction, and he asked a profound question. What must I do to be saved? Not only that he had conviction, but he called on God. My friend, the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth in righteousness, and with the mouth confession made unto salvation. He had conviction, and he also called. You hear this morning, you got conviction, God's convicting your heart of sin. You leave out the same way you come in, it'll do you no bit of good. My friend, we give invitation time. Hey, it don't even have to be any invitation time. It can be right now when I'm speaking. It can be right now when I'm going to read the Bible. Anytime God convicts your heart, this altar is always open. Hey, just run and slide in and do business with the Savior and do business with God, and God will do business with you. Well, we got 40, 50 foot of altar. You take advantage of it. I mean, when I first got saved, I always come to the altar. Ran to the altar. Because of a conviction. Here this man was convicted, but he also called. Notice what the Bible says in verse 30. And brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? In verse 31, the Bible says, go to church, pay your tithes, live a good life, and you'll be saved. He don't say that one bit. Notice what the Bible says. He says, sir, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I think about the thief on the cross of Calvary. He didn't have time to make restitution. He didn't have time to go home and get the Budweiser out of his refrigerator. He didn't have time to go home and love his wife and kiss her and say, I'm sorry. He didn't have time to go home and say, children, I'm sorry for being a bad father. All he had time to do that day was to believe in Jesus and put his faith and trust in him that day he will be with Jesus in paradise. Hey, my friend, you say, what must I do to be saved? It's not baptism. It's not church membership. It's not good works. It's simple, childlike faith in Jesus Christ. Here this prisoner, this keeper of the prison said, Paul, tell me, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, just believe. Just believe. And then in Romans, he clears it up some more. He says, for with a heart, man believeth in righteousness. It's just not knowing about God with your head. Because the Bible says the devils believe in God and tremble. The devil himself knows there's a God, but he's not saved. The demons of the devil knows there's a God, but they're not going to heaven. You say, what's the difference? You believe in God with your heart, and your heart makes a difference, my friend. God moves in, and he makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. This man had conviction, and then he called on God to save him. And when he called on God to save him, he had a changed life. Look here, if you would, verse 32. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that was in his house. Here, my friend, this jailer, this keeper of the jail, you know what he's watching Paul and Silas for? Boy, they whipped him, they put him in stocks, they put him in bonds, they put him in jail. Hey, the keeper of the prisoner was watching Paul and Silas and because they preached the gospel. Hey, now this keeper of the prisoner, he's wanting to hear the gospel. Boy, I can remember times when I didn't want to see a preacher, I didn't want to see a Bible, I didn't want to have these gospel tracts shoved in my face, I didn't want to hear nothing on the radio about Jesus Christ and him loving me. All I wanted to do was live for myself. But hey, thank God, when you get convicted and you call, that God gives you a changed life. And now, my friend, there's nothing you can do to keep me out of church. You go ahead and lock the door. I got a key. You go ahead and tell me I can't come to church on Sunday. I'll show you. Boy, the ones I used to run from is the ones I'm running to. The ones I used to run from and say, I don't need your prayers. I don't need you to care. I don't need your help. It's the same ones I'm running to now and saying, I need help. I need prayer. I need someone to care. Hey, my friend, he started rejoicing because he had conviction. How long has it been since you've had a conviction? Well, God's convicted my heart this morning. God's convicted my heart when Brother Dave walked in. How you got up early this morning doing something great for Jesus? I'm being convicted now by my own self. But this man called, and then he had a changed life. The Bible says that he started listening to the word of God. Notice what else changed in his life. In verse 33, the Bible says, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. But he started taking care of God's people. Boy, that's something, ain't it? I tell you, 8 years ago, I wouldn't care nothing for any of y'all. And you probably wouldn't care for me. But now I care for you and I love you. Thank God. When God saves you, he changes you. This man went from an hour where he's going to kill himself to an hour where he started rejoicing in God. And he had conviction. He had a call on God. He had a changed life. Notice what else the Bible says here, if you would, in verse 33. The Bible says, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized. Boy, he started following God's command. That night, he wanted to hear the God's word. He wanted to take care of the men of God. And then he wanted to get baptized. He wanted to do the very next step, the very next thing. Hey, beloved, some of you church members, hey, some of you deacons and some of you trustees and some of you Sunday school teachers, you need to take the very next step. You've been idling too long. Staying in one place too long. Here, he just wanted to take the next step. Whatever it was. I didn't know what baptism was by the day when I got saved. You know, all I did, I come to Preacher Larry, and he was real blunt. How many knows Preacher Larry is real blunt? Every one of us. Boy, have you ever been around him? I went to him, I got saved, and started. I didn't know, I just come to church and said, what do I need to do now? He said, bless God, you need to pray and read your Bible. I started praying and reading my Bible. I come to him the next day. I said, what do I do now? He said, hey, you need to start paying your tithes and telling people about Jesus. I didn't know what tithes was. I went to Brother Steve. I said, Brother Steve, can you tell me a little bit about tithing? What should I do? I didn't know what tithing was. I asked Brother Steve. I asked different church members. I didn't know what soul winning was. I didn't know how to read your Bible. Hey, in fact, I come to Preacher Larry. I said, hey, my Bible's messed up. It's got John here and it's got John back here. They should be together. I didn't know nothing. But I wanted to do the next step. I said, Preacher, what do I need to do now? He said, once you and your wife get married, hey, you need to get baptized and join the church. I said, well, let's get it going. Hey, we got a date, June the 26th, got married on a Friday night, that Sunday, got baptized and joined the church a few months later. Started opening up service for Preacher Larry on Sunday morning. Just taking prayer requests and reading your Bible verse. started teaching Sunday school class. We would take turns back and forth, and just take, always trying to take the next step, just take the next step. Now I'm trying to take the next step. Hey, I ain't arrived. I'm pastoring a church, got a nice church building, nice church people. Hey, I've been saved 8 years, been preaching the Word of God, been pastoring church, but I'm not arrived. I'm still trying to take the next step, still trying to launch out into the deep, still trying to do the very next thing that God wants us to do. Boy, we got all kinds of things going. We got a website going. We passing out gospel tracts. Got a food pantry. We're trying to do all kinds of things for the Lord. Hey, we still need to try to take the next step. And here, this man said, what must I do to be saved? He said, well, believe. And when he believed, he wanted to start hearing the preaching of God's word. He started washing the stripes of those that was beat. The Bible says that even though he called him into his own house and fed him, he wanted to have fellowship. I'll just give this to you real quick. Not only did he have a conviction, not only that he called, not only did he have a changed life, but he got courage to live for Jesus. Remember, he was watching these boys because of what they'd done. And now he's allowing what they'd done in his house. He said, hey, come on in, boys. We'll feed you. Do our best to take care of you. And it don't matter what the king thinks. It don't matter what our friends think. It don't matter what the world thinks. We're going to love God and believe in him. Notice what the Bible says real quick. Let me give this to you. In verse 34, the Bible says, and when they had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Hey, folks, thank God he got his house in. If you're here today, you've got family. You better make sure you do all you can to get them in. You better make sure you do all you can to know they're saved. I think about Noah in his day, he got no one else in but his family. Hey, but thank God he's got his family in. I can tell you this, as a preacher, we can evangelize the world and win thousands of people to Christ. But hey, if I neglect my family and they die and go to hell, I'd be a failure. You better make sure you get your family on the boat. You better make sure you get God in the house. Hey, this man had courage. He said, hey, as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, come on in, preachers. I want to feed you. I want to talk to you. I want you to preach to us. It don't matter if my neighbors see you coming in. It don't matter if my neighbors see me coming to church. It don't matter if my neighbors see me carrying my Bible around with me. Hey, I got enough of courage to live for Jesus when I'm outside of these four walls. Hey, it's good to live for Jesus when you're in church, but it's greater to live for Christ when you're outside in the world and have a lost and dying world to see you and see your life is changed because of Jesus Christ. This man said, hey, I'm not going to be ashamed of what Christ has done for me. He saved me. He cleansed me. He changed me. I'm not going to be ashamed. My friend, we don't need to be a part-time Christian. Here this man's was rejoicing. One time in his life, he's going to take his sword out and run it through his heart. Maybe you feel like that this morning. Maybe you feel like, well, preacher, it's not, my life ain't worth living. I wake up every day, and it's always the same old thing. Day after day after day after day, it's the same old thing. That's what he thought. And then God convicted his heart. He called on God. He got a changed life. Then he got courage to live for Jesus. And then you know what the Bible said? The Bible says he rejoiced. He was rejoicing because of what God done in his life. We got a letter the other day. Brother David Harrelson sent it to us in his prayer letter. It's back there in the orange folder if you want to take time to read it. A man in prison. He wrote a letter. You know what he said? He said, the greatest thing that ever happened to me is me getting put in prison because it gave me a stronger and greater relationship with Jesus. He said, the greatest thing that ever happened to me is me being put in prison and hearing the gospel preached to me and giving my life to Christ and reading the Word of God. You know what he's got this morning? He's rejoicing. Well, he's in prison. He's not going to see outside for a while. He's not going to be able to hug his family anytime he wants to. He's not going to be able to leave church this morning and go out and get a meal and go home and lay on the sofa and take a little nap and come to church tonight. Hey, he's in prison, but he's rejoicing. He's rejoicing because of what God has done in his life. I'm here this morning. I'm just as happy as I could be. Well, I'm just as happy as I could be in Jesus. I'm just as happy as I've ever been in my whole life. I've done a lot of things. I've been a lot of places. But I've never been as happier as I am today in anything else except for Jesus. He makes all the difference. This jailer went from a time where he's going to kill himself to a time of rejoicing. Because of conviction. Because he called. Because God changed his life. Because he got courage to live for Jesus. My friend, what do you need today? You come to the great I Am, and he'll give you whatever you need. You need to be saved, you come to Jesus. You need to have joy and be rejoicing, you come to Jesus. You need to have courage to live for him, you come to Jesus. And the greatest thing any of us, all of us that's saved today, you know what we tell you if you're not saved? We're not going to point our fingers at you and pick on you and mock you. All of us that knows Christ, you know what we'll say to you today? Come to Jesus. He'll make the greatest difference. He'll make the greatest difference in your life that anyone or anything could ever make. Just come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we pray, God, there's time of invitation, that you'll deal with hearts, that you'll touch lives. Lord, there might be someone here this morning that needs to be saved. And God, I've done the best I could. I know it wasn't much. But you could take your word and touch their hearts. And Lord, I ask you now, would you touch the hearts of those who's lost, who don't have any confidence in their salvation? Maybe they prayed a prayer. Maybe they've joined a church. But they don't know within their hearts they're saved. I pray, Father, this morning that they get that matter settled. Lord God, as you've spoken to the hearts right now, I pray they come. As conviction is setting in, I pray they come. I pray they come and call on God. Do business with you. And I'm sure you'll do business with them. Lord, I pray, God, you're blessed in this invitation time. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. If you would, let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. The invitation begins. I'm still standing in front this morning. I'm still here at the table. I want to ask you this question as the invitation's playing. Do you know Christ is your Savior? Do you know you've been redeemed? Do you know this morning you're saved? If you don't know yes is the answer to those questions, if you don't know you're saved this morning, if you don't know you'll go to heaven, if you don't know your relationship with Jesus is what it should be this morning, I want you to come to this altar this morning. We'll have someone to pray with you. We'll have someone to pray for you. If you're lost and needs to be saved, we'll take the Bible and show you how to trust in Jesus. But this morning, if you're not saved, you say, my life ain't worth living. My life just, it ain't worth going on day after day after day like it is now. I'm sick and tired of who I am. Won't you come to Jesus? And he'll make all the difference. He'll change your life. He'll change your life. He'll give you life. He'll give you joy. He'll give you peace. He'll give you happiness. Is there someone here this morning that would be willing to raise your hand and say, Preacher Scott, you pray for me. I don't know Christ as my Savior. I'm not ready to come down to the altar this morning. But I know my life is not right with Jesus. And preacher, I just want you to pray for me. Would you be willing just to lift your hand for me real quick and let me see it? Preacher, you pray for me. You pray for me. I see that hand. God bless you. Is there another? Please pray for me. Real quick, while I'm looking around, no one else is. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to call your name. All I want to do is pray for you. Is there another? God's convicting your heart this morning. You know you're not right with God. Would you just simply raise your hand and say, Preacher, Pray for me. I'm not right. I'm not saved. If I die in a situation I'm in, I won't go to heaven. I need your prayers. I need you to pray for me. Is there another one? Real quick, while I'm looking, would you just lift your hand and say, preacher, you pray for me. You can get it settled today. If you'll just come to this altar, you can get it settled right there in your seat. But we ask you, if you would, to come to this altar and do business with the Lord. I surrender all. All to Jesus. Father, we thank you once again for a wonderful day that you've given to us. And God, help us to spend this day wisely as we give it back to Jesus. Pray, God, you'll bless, touch their lives. God, we pray for those who raise their hand. You know who they are. God, we ask you to do something in our hearts and life that we can't do. Would you continue to bring Holy Ghost conviction? And to get to the point where they repent of their sins and put their faith in Jesus. And Father, I believe some's raised their hand. They've been saved. They're sure of salvation, but maybe they need that courage. Maybe they want to change life. Maybe they're just not living for you the way they should. I pray, God, you touch in their life. God, that you remove the sin and the weight which so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. God, help us to look to Jesus. Keep our eyes upon him. I pray, God, you'll bless and the rest of the day that we have together. And that we'll come back tonight to see what the precious word of God holds for us once again. Lord, I love you.